So there was a prize involved. You guys can come and sit down. So here was the plan. And this kind of works out like life anyway. Is that normally we start out and we just kind of go and try to figure out things on our own wherever we are, right? But the goal is to kind of have a framework to operate in. Now listen, this is supposed to come from your home. How many know that most of you are not going to get a great framework from your home? You're not. On how to live, how to pursue the Lord, how to figure out your purpose. Some of you might. Your parents love the Lord. They've done it right. But most of us, we don't come from that. Your parents say go to college, you know, try to figure it out, get a good job. But in reality, most of us just kind of figure out stuff on our own. What I wanted to do tonight is to provide for you some anchor points for your life. Okay? How many are worried about their future? Like, what am I'm going to do? What kind of, who am I going to be? How am I going to make a living, provide for my family, all that kind of stuff? There's a number of hands. I think that's pretty normal. So what I want to do is I want to go through a set of scripture verses to help you begin to figure out at least where you are right now. Without you doing anything, where you are right now. And so I told you the number one thing that you've got to understand is how much God loves you as a father. Okay? Now some of you guys, I know you don't have a dad in the home or whatever, or he didn't do what he was supposed to do. But I want to tell you that God loves you. How many have ever worried that God's mad at you? You're not doing it right, and he's mad at you. Or he's distant, or he's not giving you the information you need, or he's not going to give you the information. A lot of people struggle with that. But I just want to answer some of those things tonight before we get started. So A.W. Tozer said this, and he was a great theologian. A theologian is somebody who studies God and knows a lot just about the Word. He said this, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." When we think about God, what comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What do you think about God? What comes into your head? That is going to be the foundation right now for your life. So if you think he's mad, if you think you failed him, if you think he's non-existent, if you think he's not going to help you, if you think he's mad or disappointed, it's going to affect everything in your life. Everything. It's the way you're going to view the world. It's the way you're going to receive stuff. It's going to shape every decision that you make. You guys follow me? You with me? Okay. All right, so what I wanted to do is simply take you through a set of scripture verses. And here is your homework, even before we get started. It's for you to go home and just simply read some of these scripture verses. And then I want you to pray the prayer we put underneath. It's really simple. It's almost dummy proof. And that's what I wanted, because I wanted somebody to make it simple even for me. Because I'm going to do the same thing even at my age. Because I want to make sure that I'm living my purpose. All right. So I want to show you something. Put up the pathway pic for me. Pathway picture. Okay. They'll get that up in just a second. Here's the one thing. I want to show you a couple of scripture verses. Are we ready to show scripture verses as well? Or no? Okay, because we lost a number of things. Go back to Mark 1:11, please. Okay. So you have to understand something, no matter where you are in your walk with God. You got to understand how God views you. All right? So this is where Jesus is about to start his ministry. He's being baptized, and he is about to now do 3.5 years of ministry leading to the cross to die for your sins. And all of a sudden, the heavens split, the Holy Spirit comes down and comes down upon him, and everybody around him hears this voice. And it says, "Then a voice came from heaven, and it said this, 'You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Okay? "In whom I'm well pleased." Can I tell you that Jesus has not done one miracle? He has not accomplished anything in his life yet. He has not done anything. But that was his starting point. See, if you understand that God loves you, regardless of what you've done wrong, regardless of where you come from, that's your starting point. You can figure out the rest of the stuff. So let me do this too. Go to Genesis 1:27, and then let me know when you can find the picture. Okay, I'm going to have to read it. I tell you what, Tiana, there's the picture. All right. This is your life. How many think that they're just going to, that everything is like going from A to B? All right, I'm going to graduate high school. I'm going to find somebody. I'm going to marry them. I'm going to get the good job. I'm going to have two and a half kids. I'm going to make X amount of dollars, right? I'm going to get a dog and a picket fence, and everything's going to work out the way that it's supposed to, right? Amen. Our penthouse, yeah, 2.5. That's the average. Maybe 2.4 now. So you get 2.4 kids. But this is the way that life really is. Look at me. You need to hear this, because everybody in here, you're an idealist. You really think that everything is going to be perfect, whether you say you don't or not. And I'm telling you, it won't be that way. And so life is like this. And you go through twists and turns, and you're right here at college, and all of a sudden something happens, or you get sick, or you get disappointed, and it's going the other way, and it goes around the bend, and you don't know where it leads. You don't know what's going to happen. That's life. That's what it's like to walk with God too. And so God will take you all around these things to get you down where if it would have just been a straight shot, it wouldn't have taken that long. But there's a plan in place. And so you have to learn to trust God when you don't understand. And you have to trust that he loves you and he's got a purpose for you, even if he doesn't take you from point A to point B in a straight line. So can you put up Genesis 1:27 for me? So you got to understand this too. When Jesus was about to start his ministry, God said, "You are my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased," before he did anything. He loved him before he accomplished anything. Second thing is, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. You have to understand, you were made in the essence of God. That gives you unbelievable worth. Anybody ever lost a nickel and you got worried about it? No. You drop a penny, it's like, I ain't worried about a penny. How many has ever dropped a $10 bill or a $20 bill or a $100 bill and you're crying and you're panicking, right? There's a difference. Why? Because one is worth more than the other. If you don't understand how much you're worth, you'll live your life always worried that God is not going to come through for you. I'm telling you, he will come through for you. So if you would, put up Psalm 8:3-5. I want you to begin to see what the Creator, how he made you in his plan in this. And this is David, and he writes, "When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them." Now, can you imagine him standing out and looking at the stars? And this is before electricity, because we can go outside in Omaha, and man, we can't hardly see anything. But if you're out where there's no lights, all of a sudden the sky lights up, man. And there's all this creation, and he's looking up in the sky, and all of a sudden he's going, with all this creation that you've created, why do you even care? Why are you mindful of us? And then he goes on, he says, "You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor." Crowned with glory and honor. There is something that God looks at you and thinks of you and has done for you that many of you don't even begin to understand yet. And you will when you have kids. Because there ain't nothing in this life I wouldn't do for my kids. All right, let's go to Ephesians 1:3-5. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Everything that you need in this life can be found through Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined. He planned it ahead of time for us to be adopted to sonship, our daughtership through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will. So this is what this means. He knew that you would sin. He knew that you would fail. And he sent his son to die in your place. And then he said, but you're still mine. And he looks at you as blameless. That's hard for us to understand because how many people blow it every single day? I do every single day. But what God's trying to say is it's not about what you think you're doing or how well you're doing. It's about what my son did for you, all right? So he predestined that this would happen. Isaiah 64:8. Do you guys know what the most expensive brand of jeans in the world is? How much do you think it is? Most expensive brand of jeans in the world. Throw out a $2,000. No, not even close. No. Higher. $75,000. No, higher. $1,000,000. Who said that? $1,000,000. No, higher. Listen, $1.3 million. And do you know why? Because in the design, well, yeah, they're bedazzling with some stuff, right? They put diamonds in the jeans. Diamonds in the jeans. But you got to understand something. Listen, what God has placed in you is just as priceless because he put Christ in you. And so read this, Isaiah 64:8. It says, yet you, Lord, are a father. We are the clay and you are the potter and we are the work of your hands. You know why I love this is because he was intentional in the way he made you. Go to Psalm 139:13-18. One of my favorite scripture verses of all time. It says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. That word knit means that he took a number of different things and actually connected it together. Diverse things. It says, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Some of you guys need to stand in front of the mirror and tell yourself, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. Y'all look at me because some of y'all struggle with how you think you look. And you need to stand in front of the mirror every single day. Because it's more than just outward appearance. There's a bunch of great stuff on the inside, plans, purposes, talents, gifts, all that kind of stuff. But some of you just need to stand in front and go, God, I believe what you have said is true. And it says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book. Hold on before you switch it back. It says, all the days ordained. That word ordained is fashioned. It means it's been planned out. You have a certain number of days to live. You need to get that. You're not going to live forever. That means you need to be intentional and be about the days that you've been given. That same word is the word when Adam was formed from the dust of the earth. Same thing. He created, he ordained, he fashioned your days. Next. It says, before one of them came to be, how precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. And when I awake, I am still with you. Some of you guys think God is not even aware that I'm alive. And I'm telling you, the way he thinks about you, they are innumerable toward you. And you have to begin to understand this, that he thinks about you. Go to Romans 11:29. For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. That word irrevocable means that he'll never take it back. So it's not based on how good you are. It's not based on how well you live. God in his goodness will give you things, place them inside of you, and then not take them back. Every person in this room is called. Every person in this room, you have a gift, a talent, an ability, something that he's placed specially inside of you. Y'all with me? I know you don't believe me, but it's true. It's true. Go to Galatians 1:15. This is Paul. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. It says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace from the very beginning, It said that God had designed him to be an apostle. Same thing. Before you were born, before your days were even brought into being, God had a plan and a purpose and a call for your life. That you were born intentionally, regardless of what anybody else has said. God chose you. Go to 2 Timothy 1:9. It says this, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Some of y'all aren't even saved, and I'm telling you, you've got a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. I remember when I was your age, I didn't want anything to do with God. The fact that I'm a preacher is crazy. For those who don't know, I had 4 nevers in my life. So go ahead and tell God what you won't do. All right, as a challenge. I told him I'd never be a Christian. I got saved. I told him I'd never go to Bible school. Went to Bible school. Didn't know why I was at Bible school because I knew I'd never be a pastor. Became a pastor. And I definitely would never be a youth pastor. And so I'm done. I've done all my nevers. And God, in his sense of humor, is awesome. But can I tell you, even when I hated him, even when I was far from him, he knew I had a holy calling. And so do you. And you don't have to go into ministry to be to have a holy calling. Acts 17:26. It says, from one man he created all the nations through the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. This is really important because God determined when you would be born. He determined to who or to whom you would be born. He determined what century you would be born in. And he chose for you to be born during that time. See, when people make comments like, for such a time as this, I was born, it's true. You're alive right now for a specific purpose and a reason. Thank you, Billy. He is the designer and he has a plan. Acts 1:7. Now, this is one of the hardest parts. We found out. God made us intentionally. He's called us. We have a holy calling. We've been designed. All of those kind of things. But he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Can I tell you, you will not know when you're going to step into your calling. You won't. A lot of you guys have a plan. You know, I'll graduate college and I'll do this. But there's some things that you won't discover until you walk in obedience to God. I wasted a decade. Just going to shoot straight with you. 10 years of my life. And there were a number of years that I really struggled in my mind in regret. You don't want to do that. I'm just telling you. There's nothing you can do about the past. It's done. But he knows the times and he knows the seasons. And part of this is learning to trust that God is good and God has a plan and you won't struggle quite as much. So learning to walk with God is first and the most important. And then Psalm 32:8. I want to tell you this. I pray this every day. I say, God, thank you that you will instruct me and you will teach me in the way that I should go and that you will counsel me with your eyes on me every single day. He'll instruct me and he'll teach me in the way I should go. You can begin praying this and I guarantee you it'll help you. And then I wanted to show this to you because it's really important to me. Jesus was a master teacher. He was incredible. I mean, even now, people who are not Christians read his stuff and are amazed by his responses, the way he handled all of this stuff. And so he is speaking to what we would call a lawyer or a teacher or somebody that was very intelligent. And the guy was trying to corner him and challenge him to trap him. And Jesus knew it. And he had this unbelievable answer. The person that you're about to hear is brilliant. Routinely. As a matter of fact, when we were in Macedonia, one of their team members came and spoke to us, but he also met with the president of Macedonia. He'll routinely, this guy will go to Harvard, he'll go to Cambridge, he'll go to the best and the brightest colleges, and he will open mic. Allow anybody to come up and ask him questions, and he'll debate, and he'll answer, because he's brilliant. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Ravi Zacharias, but I want you to go ahead and play right now.
The first thing I want to remind you of this is that we are told, according to the scriptures, prior to the resurrection story, that God is the author of human essence. God is the author in the essential nature of our humanity. We didn't come into being by accident. We just didn't suddenly appear unconceived or without any purpose in mind, but that God Himself is the designer and brought us into existence. The psalmist says, "When I see the heavens, the work of your hands, the sun and the moon and the stars which you have made, what is there in man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit him?" This fact of our creation is a vital source in enabling us to understand what it means to be human. It's a vital source, giving us the generality of our essence, created in the image of God. Some of you have probably heard me mention this simple conversation between Jesus and the one who was questioning him, trying to pit him against the Caesar. And he looked at Jesus and he said, "Is it all right to pay taxes to Caesar?" The one question I wish so desperately Jesus had answered differently. Then on April 15th, you could be godly and rebellious at the same time. Jesus, so brilliant in his response, he says, "Give me a coin." And he took the coin and he says, "Whose image do you see on this?" The man says, "Caesar." Jesus says, "Give to Caesar that which is Caesar's, and give to God that which is God's." The disingenuousness of the questioner is noticed in the fact that he did not come back with a second question. He should have said, "What belongs to God?" And Jesus would have said, "Whose image is on you? Give to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar. Give to God that which belongs to God. God's image is on you."
It's one of the best things I've ever heard. I've been in ministry a long time. Here's the thing. Some of you guys don't want God's image to be on you. I get it. You think that if you deny it, you can do anything you want. There's a price to pay. There are things that I will live with for the rest of my life that make me limp. They do. I can't forget them. They're there. God forgives me. But they have limited my ministry. They have limited my marriage. They have limited my parenting. They have limited my life. It's just the truth. Some of you guys are headed down the same road. I'm not here to make you feel bad. I'm just being honest with you. You do what you want. I don't own you. Be an adult, own your decisions, do what you want. I'm just telling you. You were made in the image of God. You were purchased by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He has a purpose and a plan for your life, even to redeem your pain, even to redeem your past. Some of you guys are so afraid that you think God is so ungood, not good, that he would send you somewhere, ask you to do something that he wouldn't give you the heart for or wouldn't give you the ability to do. He's not like that. And this is my prayer for you. Psalm 20, verse 4. I love this, man. It says, "May he grant you according to your heart's desire." See, if it's in Scripture, it's a truth. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. You don't live until you find your purpose, guys. You don't. And my hope and my prayer, if you never hear me say another thing, God loves you, but he has a purpose and a plan. And the only way you find it is that you give him your life and you trust him as you pursue it. We're going to tell you how. I'm going to help you find your talents and your gifts and your abilities. I'm going to teach you about stewardship. I'm going to give you practical tools so you can begin to recognize where you are. But it begins right here. Understand that these are the anchor points of your life and you can't get away from them. You can run, you can hide, you can deny. But you were made in the image of God, and his fingerprints are all over you. and he loves you. I'd like to give out the devotional cards right now, and then we're going to pray. So Tiana has them, actually. Okay, thank you. What I would like for you guys to do, for those who want to, is I want you to just go through as many scripture verses as you can. But I want you to not just, listen, this is not homework. I need you to get out of school mindset for just a minute. Look at me. This is about your life. I need you to read the verse and think about it. And then I want you to pray it. We tried to make it really simple. We tried to help explain a little bit of the scripture and help you pray. But I want more than anything else for you to find your purpose in life. Can I tell you something really interesting? I didn't want to go into youth ministry. Not because I don't love young people, but I thought, you know, I don't have anything to bring to young people. And it was 2 years ago, after I had said yes to a never, that God began to reveal to me what my purpose in life was. And it was because I was preaching at an Unplugged. And God began to show me David and how every person in life has a call and a cause. Everybody's called and everybody has a cause. And this has begun to open this thing, the very reason why I'm alive and why I'm working on this for you. And so sometimes in your fear or in your what you're afraid of or your nevers, God's in it. And you got to follow it. So I want you to stand to your feet. I'm asking you, for those that will, to pray these scripture verses, to study the scripture verses, to keep them as anchor points for your life. They'll guide you, they'll lead you, they'll keep you, but they'll also keep you moving in the right direction. So, Father, I pray for the men and women in this room. So many, God, are beginning to think through what their life is going to look like. Decisions about college, decisions about school, decisions about relationship. So many carry baggage. So many, they don't talk about it, but they don't like who they are. They don't like what they've done. Some drink or do drugs to try to deal with it. Some of them come from not so great homes. And God, I pray that in this season, in this series of messages, that you would begin to speak to their hearts. That God, they trust you with their life. God, you'd begin to order their steps. You'd begin to instruct them and teach them in the way that they should go. Some of them are going to go to college for a job or a degree that they're never going to use. And that money's going to go right down the toilet. 50% of people at least go to college and never use their degree. I'm asking that you would do better by them, God. That you'd begin to speak to them. You'd help them discover why they're alive. You'd help them discover their gifts and their talents, their abilities. You'd even use their pain, God, in their life. And I pray, God, that you would open their eyes. And that you would give them a cause that is bigger than anything they ever dreamed. But it first begins with you. So I pray, Lord, as we leave tonight, that they will actually take the time and read through the scriptures, spend time with you, and begin to pray. I pray that you would guide their steps. I love them. I'm proud of them. But I'll kick them in the butt if they don't do this. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Listen, I'm asking you to do this. I don't care if you think you got it all figured out or you don't believe in Jesus. I don't care. I'm asking you to take the time, read the scripture verses, ask, have a conversation with God, and go, show me why I'm alive. Open my heart and my eyes to what you want me to do. You're going to be surprised at how things begin to shift a little. All right, guys. So Sunday, how many are coming to the One conference? It's going to be awesome. I'm telling you, this is pretty unique. So if you're riding the bus, be here by about 4:30, 4:40 at the latest, and we'll be back here by 9. How many people are going to Unplugged? That's going to be incredible too. We got room for about 12 or 13 more guys. We got room for, we don't have any more room for girls. Yeah. But God bless you guys. Love you. Do your homework. We'll see you Sunday.